The story this week is The Wedding at Cana. And it's a story from the fragmented Gospel of John for Epiphany. And just a comment about this in relation to the lectionary. The lectionary fractures the Gospel of John so that we never hear the whole story. And that is most unfortunate in relation to our understanding of the Gospel of John. So whenever possible, I would recommend that you tell as much of the Gospel of John in sequence as can be managed in one worship service. And in this case, for sure, tell the whole of the story of the wedding at Cana. The dynamic of the story is that this is a sign of Jesus' power and authority, but it is first of all based on a Jewish joke. There are two Jewish jokes that are foundational to the early parts of John. The first is the repartee between Jesus and Nathanael, in which Jesus says, "Hey, look at this, a true Israelite in whom there is no guile, no treachery, no trickery," in contrast to the father of Israelites, namely Israel, Jacob, who was known for tricking his brother. And Nathanael responds, "Well, how did you know me?" And Jesus says, "Well, when you were standing over by the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael, "What? Ha! Rabbi, you're the Son of God! You're the King of Israel!" So, Nathanael just kind of goes nuts. Well, it's based on this common joke about the forefather of all Israelites. Well, this is a Jewish mother joke. You know the Jewish mother joke of how many Jewish mothers does it take to change a light bulb? None. "It's all right, it's all right. I'll just sit here in the dark." So this is sort of the introduction of this story has that same feel to it. They ran out of wine and his mother said, "They have no wine." And Jesus' response is, "What? What is it between you and me, woman? My hour has not yet come." And she says, oi, do whatever he tells you. The intention, the structure of this introduction to the story is for the listeners to smile and to recognize a relationship between a Jewish mother and son that has the kind of repartee that was beloved in the community. Jesus' word in regard to that is, on the one hand, humorous. On the other hand, it is his first passion prophecy. It's a reference to the final miracle of his death and resurrection, the hour when he would be glorified. And as he says to Philip and Andrew later in the story, "My hour has come. Now is the time when the Son of Man will be glorified." Well, in this instance, his hour has not yet come. So when they then fill these water jars, which were for the rites of purification, they are following Jesus' instructions. The rites of purification were for various things for both men and women. For men after a nocturnal emission, for women after a menstrual period, for various kinds of impurities that would be contracted by touching an unclean animal, a corpse, for uncleanness that was contracted by foods that were unclean. There were many rites of purification. And so the size of these water jars was then very large to provide the resources of water for ritual baths. The amount of water that is implied, John says that each of them held 2 or 3 metretas, that was 18 to 24 gallons. So in 6 jars, there were approximately 120 gallons. So this is a major wine manufacturing miracle that Jesus does of 120 gallons of wine. The sign of turning water into wine is a miracle associated with Dionysus in the ancient world. In Euripides' play, The Bacchae, which precedes the stories of the Gospels by several centuries, Dionysus turns water into wine. And Philo, in about the same period as John, interprets Melchizedek as the Logos, who transforms water into wine. So there's a kind of Jewish precedent in Philo for this miracle story. And in the synoptic tradition, Jesus' parable of the wine and the wineskins in Mark 2:22, you know, no one puts new wine in old skins, so on, is another example of a new wine motif in the gospel tradition. But this action is a manifestation of Jesus' power, and in effect, Jesus supersedes Dionysius as a representative of divine power that is greater than that of Dionysius. The story is a delightful story, and I would recommend that you tell it in the spirit of a wedding. It is a joyful story, and it is a story that invites both wonder and surprise at who Jesus is, and also simply delight at the providing of all this wine for a great wedding reception. So it is a story that is in some ways more, I don't know, secular than any of the stories of the gospel tradition, that makes it clear that Jesus is one who is greater than the gods of the Hellenistic world. The location in Capernaum is congruent with the Gospels as the place of Jesus' first acts of ministry, being in Capernaum. And the purpose of these sign stories in John is to invite faith on the part of the listeners. And that is reflected at the end of this story, that the disciples believed in him. And so the invitation to the audience is to join the disciples in believing in him. Another motif at the end of the story is that the disciples recognize his glory. As in the prologue, we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son of God. Well, the disciples here recognize in this sign his glory. That is, his being a sign of the presence of God. So this story is an invitation to enter into the spirit of Epiphany, of the experiences of Jesus as a sign of the presence of God in the world.